Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Everybody doing out there? It's time for the Friday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack, and hey, we know what happens on Fridays now.
Start spreading the news.
Number two is here. Look at that.
How about that?
Oh, if you'd like to call into the podcast to talk to Stu or I, or maybe both of us, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturdays, so you can look for something popping up over there tomorrow, hopefully in the morning. Let's go with that. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, you want to hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, hey, we'd greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, sadly, we still don't have Stu on Twitter. We're still working on that one. But I am at Burke Time. And as always, you know the drill. If you got a question for Stu, send it to me, and I will gladly forward it along. So there you go. We are off and running, as they say. I'm not running anywhere, but we're at least off.
And the Preakness, by the way, is that tomorrow or is it a week from tomorrow?
Boy, you know, I would have to lie to you. Yeah, I'd have to lie to you to tell you, but I can see how it maybe I can find out here real quickly. I honestly don't know. It is actually tomorrow, so there you go.
Did you know that the first four finishers in the race will not be racing tomorrow? That hasn't happened in a long time.
Yeah, I knew the first two weren't going to be. I didn't know there were actually a couple more that didn't, weren't going to run. I believe the horse I picked to win the Derby is still on the track in Kentucky, so I don't think he's going to be in the race tomorrow. So
make an appearance tomorrow.
Actually, oddly, he's in the field. So there are only 13 horses tomorrow after, what were there, 20,
yeah.
20 or 21 in the Derby or something?
Yeah, that's a pretty big field. And now that I think about it, I think the Belmont is when there's a 3-week lag instead of the normal 2-week lag between the Triple Crown races. So that one will be a little bit later.
Yeah, and you know, like you said, you know, there won't be a Triple Crown winner because I believe that horse came down with some kind of illness.
Yeah,
so he's out.
Anyway. As a fluke, anyway, and I still think that the disqualification was unjustified, but what do I know?
Yeah, you know, I don't know enough about horse racing to decide. I mean, you can see, you know, the horse does kind of go, you know, did kind of go to the outside, but I don't know if he really impeded with any of the other horses, so... I doubt I would have disqualified them, but you know, they made quite a few people a lot of money by that, country top.
Yeah, they did.
And I mean, 5-1.
I'm sure the sloppy conditions didn't help the race either, because it's easy to see a horse slipping a little bit in those poor conditions.
Yeah. So, but yeah, it's, it'll be interesting, to see here tomorrow. I'll have to find another fun name to pick and see if maybe I can land somebody who at least shows up. But, I went with the jockey because they put Mike Smith on the horse I liked, and I thought, oh, he could be a good pick. And, that didn't work out for me.
Didn't work out. No. It was a crazy race.
I came crashing down, but we'll see how it kind of how it kind of rolls off tomorrow. And again, I'll have to try to tune in, you know, just in time to catch the actual race. You know, the entire setup is a little long for me. I do enjoy seeing, you know, who the experts are picking and stuff, but the other pre-race stuff I don't have a ton of interest in. I just want to see the horses run after that.
Yeah, I believe it was pretty close to what I said. I said it would start around 10 to 6, and that's about what time it started here. There's always that long delay and the playing of the music, and now I'll be playing, what is it, my Baltimore? I forgot the name of this the song they play tomorrow.
I don't even remember. No. You know, but, you know, I mean, with the way horse racing is now, they only really have 3 dates a year, so we might as well let them celebrate it, right?
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
You know, kind of how those things work out, but we shall see. I'll have to put my winner in the blog tomorrow and see if I do better this time. But I caught an article a little earlier. Well, I was just kind of, you know, putzing around looking at some sports stuff online. And this one writer had a specific baseball manager that he believes who should be the first to go this season. And I was just kind of wondering, do you have a manager that sticks out to you right now where, you know, the team has been a little disappointing and you think the managerial change is in order?
It's hard to say. No, I would hate to see, for example, Terry Francona go because Cleveland's not doing that well, but they're only a couple of games behind and there's a long way to go. And of course, Madden seems to be doing a good job, so I don't think he'll be the one going. His team has one of the best records in the majors, so I don't know. I really can't put a finger on it. And the Yankees, they're right up there, so I don't think that their manager is going to be the one to go. Do you have any ideas yourself or thoughts?
You know, well, the writer I read picked the Mets. He picked Mickey Callaway as the manager who should go. I was actually in the same division, but if I was going with a guy, I would probably go with Davey Martinez. You know, the Nationals are 18-25, and you know, I get that you lost Bryce Harper, but you know, you added Patrick Corbin. You know, so you have a big three coming at you: Scherzer, Strasburg, Corbin. You know, this should be a better team than 6 under .500, and I think just kind of looking at them, they're probably the most disappointing team again with Washington right out of the gate. And you know, obviously, let's hope they don't turn it around this weekend against the Cubs. But yeah, I think I asked Dan this maybe a week or two ago. I can't figure out why I'm always buying into this team when they just continually disappoint. You know, at least this year I didn't pick them to win the division. So,
yeah, I didn't pick them to win the division, but I thought they would be a contender. I still thought they would be up there and contending for the division, although not winning it. I believe I picked Philadelphia, as I'm sure a lot of people did. But
yeah,
certainly they're off to a very disappointing start.
So, yeah, they did win, you know, the last two games in their series against the Mets. So they're coming in on a little bit of a high note. And I know they canned their pitching coach earlier. You know, I think you and I actually talked about it. They canned him after Strasburg went out and had his best outing in like 2 years or something. And the pitching coach got the axe. But, yeah, I like the signing. You know, they picked up Brian Dozier. I honestly just thought he had a down year last year and he would bounce back. Sadly, his bounce back is .187 with 5 bombs and only 7 RBIs. So it's probably a good thing. Yeah, probably good thing to sign him to a 1-year deal because he definitely, you know, I mean, they're probably going to have to start looking for options there. You know, Juan Soto, after being, you know, I believe he was runner-up to Rookie of the Year, is hitting .228 this year. So, you know, and I know they've had some injuries. Zimmerman, of course, has been hurt, but even when he's healthy, he's only hitting .213. So, yeah, I don't know. I know, you know, they're getting Trey Turner back tonight against the Cubs. He's actually leading off and playing shortstop. So, you know, that'll be a big help for them. You know, he's obviously a very good player. So, that'll help. And, besides Corbin, I was a little disappointed with the way they filled out the rotation. I've never been a big Anibal Sanchez fan. He's given him some innings. I know he got hurt last night and had to come out early, but he's 0-6 in his 9 starts, and his ERA is 5.10, and now he's on the DL. So, you know, Hellickson was filling in for that, you know, in that 5th spot, and, you know, he's had some decent starts here and there, but again, you're looking at a guy with a 6 ERA. So while the front of the rotation looks fantastic, the back of rotation is kind of like, yeah, okay, great.
Well, after you mention all these things, I'm going to have to say that despite all that, I predict Washington will win 2 out of 3 over the weekend.
See, we got our prediction in early because we actually forgot to
do them
on air.
Well, we started talking about Washington, so I figured, what the hell? I'll come up with an early prediction. And I'm just doing it based upon the pitching matchups. Of course, the Cubs don't do well at all against those two pitchers.
Yeah, they're Washington at the top of the rotation, so it's a tough spot. What is it? It's, you know, Scherzer against Hamels tonight. I believe for some reason I thought Hamels was pitching last night. I, you know, just one of those snafus that I happened to stumble through. You would call it a senior moment. For me, it's just, you know, kind of outright goofiness, but. You know, we'll see. You know, Hamels has pitched really well. So, you know, with the way the Nationals are hitting, maybe
he's done a good job.
Cubs in the game, in a 1-0 game.
Yeah, and I think the mound conditions that led to some of Quintana's problems last night when they tied the game on a couple of wild pitches, I think it was just the footing was bad. But the Cubs only got 4 hits anyway, so you can't really use that as an excuse for their loss yesterday.
So yeah, and then
went against them.
Yeah, Castillo's turning into a really good pitcher for the Reds, and then the rest of the series wraps up tomorrow. It's Steven Strasburg against John Lester. That's actually on Fox, and then Sunday night the Cubs again on the Mickey Mouse Network 3 weeks in a row. You get Jeremy Hellickson against Kyle Hendricks to wrap up the series there. You know, it's interesting that they keep going back to the Cubs. You know, again, like I said, 3 weeks in a row here, I'm assuming they're producing the ratings. Otherwise, these games wouldn't keep popping up. But it's just kind of – I don't think I've ever seen a team go 3 times in a row on the Mickey Mouse Network like that.
That's quite unusual. And by the way, there was a very interesting article about the 3 announcers that covered the Sunday night games, and they were not very complimentary, let's put it that way, to say the least. About their chemistry together. They said it's non-existent, and they do a really poor job of broadcasting the games.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think I've ever had any real issues with them. So I've learned to tune out the announcers after the pair we have here because God, I just never know what they're going to talk about. So I just kind of let it go. I'll be like, yeah, okay, I'm going to just pay attention to something else and watch the game.
Right. Well, you know that Len Cass is going to do the broadcast for Fox tomorrow, and he'll be completely different than when he does it locally.
Yeah, he won't be such a clown, is what I've noticed when he does the Fox stuff. They're very, much, much more professional, and, he calls it like an announcer should, unlike when he's doing local here. He's just a schmuck, so.
Yeah, really annoying. Really annoying. I mean, we must be in the minority, though, because I think they're all set to be doing the announcing for the Cubs and their new network starting next year.
Why wouldn't they? I mean, they're the best of homers. I mean, they're not Hawk Harrelson-type homers, but they're definitely – big-time homers, like pretty much I think every announcer is now. I believe that's almost a requirement if you're going to announce for a team. You you really can't say anything negative about them, which, you know, really just kind of diminishes the whole experience. I mean, if a guy makes a mistake, you know, don't try to cover it up, but, you know, that's pretty much what they're told to do now. You know, I mean, the option is, who are they going to get that's going to be any better, right?
That's true. I don't know anybody who would come in and really change the thing all that much. The sad thing is, though, if they want to be decent, they could be. But they could be if they played it straight and a little more serious than what they wind up doing. And as I mentioned to you before, what really annoys me is that when they'll start the clowning and stuff in a close ball game in the late inning, so they'll start talking about different things that relate nothing at all to the game going on at all, and that's infuriating.
Yeah, that's the big hang up I have is when, you know, it's a tight, you know, whatever's going on, you know, it's a 3-2 or 2-1 or whatever kind of game, and all of a sudden you hear them talking about food or music or something. It's like, what are you idiots doing? So
that's right. And by the way, I think you and I have to get our passports in order for next year, don't we?
I don't know if I can travel out of the country. Why, are the Cubs going overseas next year?
Yeah, the word is they're going to be playing St. Louis in London next year.
No, I didn't see it. You know, this year it's Yankee Red Sox, so it only makes sense to send Cubs Cardinals, right?
Of course. And yeah, I don't know if the fans really understand the game over there when all that much. I mean, although I have to say that baseball there's a lot of similarities between baseball and cricket, and maybe that's where the baseball originated from cricket, because there are some similarities.
Yeah, well, you know, you have to think just the experience of seeing it there for the first time, you know, will be enough to get people out.
Yeah, you would think so. Well, now they have they're going to have Major League Baseball there. They've had NFL, and have they had any hockey or basketball professional teams from here play?
Basketball is exhibition games there. I don't think they've played regular season. Hockey doesn't normally go to London. They'll go to, like, Sweden and Norway and the places like that where hockey is much bigger. So, I don't think they've ever actually played a game in London.
Yeah, well, it should be interesting. And it's got to be tough on the teams playing there because I believe it's around the 6 or 7 hour time difference between here and London. So, acclimating won't be easy, and getting back home and getting back to the normal time zone, that can't be easy either on the players.
Yeah, you know, it'll be a lot tougher on, you know, like at least the football guys, they know when they go to London, they're going to be off the next week. You know, they get their bye week after that. You can't do that with the baseball. You know,
no,
obviously it's, you know, here you go. So.
Yeah. So it can't be easy. It cannot be easy with that time difference, especially as you pointed out, of course they play 162 games as compared to 16 games in the NFL. So that has an impact. That might affect teams for quite a while after competing out over there.
Yeah, and you know, you do have to wonder. I didn't look into it, you know, and I don't know if anything was announced, but is it, you know, are they allowing them to take an extra player, you know, kind of like the doubleheader situation, or, you know, maybe a couple extra players? I haven't heard or seen or, you know, read anything on how they're going to do it for this year.
Yeah, I'm not sure. When the major league teams play there, are those games on national TV like ESPN, or I would imagine would have to be a national TV as compared to a local broadcast?
Yeah, I would guess, you know, that they would be, you know, definitely be on. You know, like the Yankees and the Red Sox are going at the end of, what is it, June. And the way it looks like the schedule is set up is they have 2 days off before they play the first game. Then they're playing the 29th and the 30th. Let me click over to July here. Yeah, and then, oh, wow, they only get one day off, the Yankees do. I don't know about the Red Sox, but the Yankees only get one day off when they get back, just July 1st, and then they jump into a series of just a short two-game crosstown rivalry series with the Mets. So, you know, that's how theirs looks like it's set up.
Yeah, they can't be easy, and of course, now that Boston is starting to play up to their capability, those are important games. And
yeah.
Very important games, and then they have to turn around and come home with that one-day lag and start playing, well, the Yankees, of course, are playing the Mets. So that's not going to be easy at all. It'll be interesting to see what kind of an effect it would have on those teams when they come back to the United States and get back into the normal schedule again.
Yeah, you know, and I wonder, you know, if you think about it, it's just a two-game series. Do you only take the two starters that are going to make the starts, and you leave the other three guys in the rotation behind to stay on their time?
I would think that would be the logical thing to do, but I'm not sure if there's any rules one way or the other saying that you have to have the entire team there or not.
Yeah. And, you know, looking, double checking the Red Sox schedule, they have the same deal. They only get the one day off when they come back, and they're in Toronto. So the Red Sox actually kind of have double travel. They have to come back from London and go to Toronto. I know it's not that far from Boston, where the Yankees just have to go across the border. So
yeah, that's pretty close. That's not a factor. That won't be a factor in terms of distance that Toronto being right on the border with Buffalo, so Buffalo is not all that far from Boston, so that will not be a problem for Boston, I'm sure.
So, but yeah, you know, we'll see. You know, how this goes, if they'll make adjustments. You know, next year, you know, when the Cubs and Cardinals go, you know, maybe they get, you know, maybe it's one day off before and two days off after. You know, I'm sure they'll kind of figure this all out as it plays out, but. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. Like I said, I don't know if you would take all your starters, especially, you know, might as well keep them on their regular time.
Right, and I'm wondering why they're doing this. I mean, I don't think they're going to disband baseball to Europe. So, just it's almost like an exhibition game, although it actually counts in the standings. I'm trying to figure out the purpose of playing there.
So when all these other leagues do it, you know, it's what they call growth of the game. You know, obviously it's nothing they've seen live in person. So, you know, that's a big time experience for people. And, you know, you got to think about it. You know, obviously the first thing that comes to mind is look how much money they're going to make.
Yeah, that's all.
You know, I guarantee you the games will sell out and they're going to sell, you know, how much merchandise. You know, I mean, if you're going to go and you're going to experience this, you're going to buy a hat, you're going to buy a jersey,
oh, yeah,
you know, you're going to buy whatever they've got that's out there. So, you know, it's going to be a gigantic money maker. And, you know, that's obviously probably the most important reason they do it.
I wonder how they determine who's the home team and who's the visitors.
Yeah, that I don't know. You would think, I mean, to be fair, you would have one and one.
Yeah,
you know, this
makes
way both
sense.
Teams, you know, there's a actual home game. So, you know, maybe they'll do something like that. Because, yeah, I mean, I would hate to, you know, I know they play each other 17 or 19 times or whatever, but I would hate to have to give up two home games, you know, to go to London.
Yeah, that's a big moneymaker when the Cubs play St. Louis, either here or in St. Louis, and you're giving up, each team is giving up probably one game where they would have a capacity crowd. So,
you know, Red Sox Yankees is, you know, just the biggest moneymaker is, you know, Cubs Cardinals when they travel to each other. So they're making sure, you know, the couple times at least to send the rivalries, You know, I don't know, you know, where they go, you know, go after that. I mean, you could go, you know, Dodgers, Giants or something like that. But, man, that's a heck of a trip from L.A. to London. So.
Yeah, yeah. And years ago, they could take the Concorde, but that plane isn't flying anymore. And, of course, I went, it's such a huge, what, 1,500 miles an hour or whatever, so you can be there in a few hours. But now it's just a standard jet travel. It's going to take 7-8 hours to get there, I'm sure.
So yeah, you know, we'll have to see, you know, how they, you know, it'll be interesting to see how it plays out. I know the games start at like 1 a.m. our time, so at least they're on the weekend. I guess, you know, the fans can stay up and watch if they want. So, you know, they'll have that going, but
yeah,
well,
it should be interesting.
You know, yeah, I don't know if it's something I'll watch. And, yeah, I'll have to, you know, if we remember, we'll have to get closer and see if they're actually televised, you know, if the Mickey Mouse Network is carrying it or, you know, who's covering, if it's just the locals that's covering it. So.
Right, yeah, it should be interesting to see how the people in London take to the game live.
Yeah, you know, it's always, you know, interesting to see, you know, the reactions. I mean, football so far has went over really well. You know, I mean, what, the NFL has been going there multiple games for multiple years now, and they, you know, they always sell out. You know, not an issue at all.
Yeah, I wonder what they call the game there. I guess they must call it United States football, because I believe when they play soccer in England and Europe, it's called football.
Yeah, they call it American football.
Yeah, well, there is a big difference.
You know, that's just that's their description there. They play American football. So.
Yeah, you don't want to confuse anybody.
No, which is, you know, obviously it's humorous to us, but. You know, to them, it's, you know, what they, you know, obviously they had soccer first, and,
yes,
you know, this is something completely. So. But, yeah, you know, it'll be, you know, you know, I mean, it's an interesting experiment for, you know, for them, and, you know, we'll see how, you know, how it works out.
Yeah. Well, I hope the players at least get a chance to at least tour London a little bit when they're there and have a little downtime and enjoy it. I've always wanted to go there, and I never had the opportunity.
Yeah, you know, well, you know, Mr. Fantasy is headed that way, but he's going to Paris, so.
Yeah, that's not that far. They're not that far apart, Paris and London. You could take the tube and get there in an hour and a half from Paris to London. So that also was an exciting city to visit.
Yeah, I'm not officially sure when he's going, but he does. You know, he will be going. I believe sometime this probably the summer. So.
Yeah, I might be going to Lebanon or Iraq one of these days. See what it looks like.
Yeah. So. Good luck with that one. Let us know how that turns out.
We'll do. We'll do.
I myself am not going anywhere at all. Just so everybody knows, I will definitely be here. So
you'll still be local.
Yes. So I don't even like to, you know, go out of my apartment most days. So
you haven't made your trip to South Bend in a while now, right? A couple of years, 2 or 3 years.
No. Yeah, well, you know, Dan went for opening day last year, but, you know, when those games are during the week, I mean, I can't do that because I have to obviously be at work in an obscene hour in the morning. So, you know, I can't make those trips, but, you know, he can go back and forth and still make his day job because he has, you know, much closer to banker's hours than I do.
Right. That really wouldn't work out to your work schedule.
Yeah. So, you know, just the, you know, the things that I deal with, but yeah, I know. And then the, trying to remember when the last time I was supposed to go with them. Oddly, I ended up getting like the summer flu or something. I ended up being really sick when we were supposed to go. So, yeah, he said to actually make the last couple trips without me. And it's like, oh, sorry, man. So.
Yeah, well, you can't go if you're – those summer flus can be quite unpleasant.
You know. But, yeah, hopefully we'll get down there, you know, this year. We haven't talked about, you know, anything yet or, you know, when we might be headed. But, you know, it's a good time, and, you know, that's the thing with – you know, the minor league games is, you know, it's really fan oriented. You know, they really focus on, you know, bringing the experience to their fans and making sure their fans have a good time. So, you know, and that's the thing. I mean, South Bend always does fantastic attendance for, you know, their ballpark and yeah, just the stuff they have. I mean, for, you know, because obviously if you bring a, you know, I don't know if you brought your kids to the games when they were small, but, you know, they get distracted pretty easily. So, you know, there's other stuff for them to do. You know, I mean, they have, you know, play areas and stuff like that for, you know, the kids. And they do a lot of pregame stuff for the kids, which is fantastic. And, you know, a lot of, you know, let the kids run the bases after the game kind of things. So,
yeah
the, you know, they
have
I know
fan-friendly.
All kinds of stuff.
Now, is South Bend
but,
single A or double A, by the way?
They are single A, so.
Single A, okay.
So, yeah. You know, and I know they had a, oh, man, who, I don't remember who it was. I know they were promoting it pretty hard. They had somebody for a rehab start. I'm trying to remember who got injured this year that the Cubs had to put on IL, but he got to make a got to play. I think he played a game or two at South Bend, and that was obviously a gigantic deal down there. So,
yeah, that's a. Don't they normally send him to Iowa when there's a rehab start?
Yeah, you know, I think it depends who's at home. You know, and if Iowa's on the road, you know, you go to South Bend, or you know, worst case scenario, you'd go to Tennessee. Because that's, you know, I think that's double. So, but yeah, you know, obviously you want them as close as possible. And, you know, I that's why I always kind of figured everybody would kind of stick with the Kane, you know, the Kane County team because it's right there. But, you know, they switched up that affiliate. And I think, I can't remember who Kane County is. When we went there the last time, I know they played the Cardinals affiliate. And, oh, no, they were still a Cub affiliate then because we saw Kyle Schwarber play and he DH'd. He didn't even catch. So.
Yeah, well, it's good to see some of these guys that finally made it to the big league roster. I don't know if you saw anybody when you went to South Bend, if anybody ever made it from there to the big league roster. It's not easy.
Yeah, you know, the one we got to see that I know right off the bat is Billy McKinney was playing there at the time. It was actually before he got traded to Oakland. Or, no, where'd they ship him off to? New York. They shipped him to the Yankees. And now he's playing pretty regularly for the Blue Jays. So, you know, and then, of course, Dan's favorite player was Sean. And I don't know what happened to him. I don't know if he's still in the Cubs or minor league organization somewhere. If he's, you know, he could be out of baseball for all I know.
Yeah, it's very difficult to make it, and there's only, as we always talk about, there's only a few hundred to make it to the top level. So,
yeah,
the fact
you know,
30
I,
teams.
Yeah, humorously, I saw a spot, you mentioned tough at making it. I believe, you know, it was the Mets. I know we kind of glossed over them a little earlier, but I believe they called up a player – who spent 12 years in the minors. Let me see if I can get the article here real quick. And it's not what it seems. The way they headline the article, they make it seem like he spent 12 years in the minors. But what it actually is they're bringing Carlos Gomez up to take Mike Conforto's spot, and obviously Gomez has been a major league player for quite a long time. He just ended up with Mets, and they sent him to AAA to start the year. So not as exciting as I thought it was about it.
Now, Taylor Davis just went down to the minors, didn't he? Wasn't he in the minors about 8 years before the Cubs finally brought him up?
Yeah, you know, I know he had a long stint down there. I don't know if it was exactly 8 years, but yeah, it was quite a, you know, it's quite a trip for some of these guys. I mean, there are guys who spend, obviously their whole careers down there. But don't even get the chance like Davis did. At least he's got some at bats. Yeah, he started with the Cubs back in 2011. And then, obviously he popped up for a few games he was here in 2017 for 8 games. So, yeah, he spent 6 years in the minors before he got a whiff. And then, last year he was only in 5 games. And then he came back for 6 this year before heading back down. So,
you wonder how these guys can make it financially if they're a lifelong AAA player. I don't know if they're compensated enough to survive at that level for so many years.
Yeah, well, I think AAA pays okay. Obviously it's not what you're making at the major league level, but it's probably still solid money. So. Who knows? Maybe you're married. You're married to the right person, and she makes all the money.
Yeah.
So. You gotta pick and choose wisely. So.
That's right. Well, I know that one of the Cubs is married to a professional singer.
Well, for now. So.
At least for now, right?
So. We'll see how that one works out. But while we were talking about the Mets, they did designate today Keon Broxton for assignment. He was a Brewer prospect for many, many years. And, there was a lot of talk about what a big star this guy was going to be. And, the same thing with, Lewis Brinson, who they shipped off to the Marlins, but it just, it hasn't worked out for this guy. I mean, they were giving him some time. He played in 34 games, hitting .143.
Yeah. I don't think his average has ever been quite robust in the majors, if I remember.
He had some power, but
his average is always pretty dismal.
Yeah, he hit .242 one year for the Brewers. And then the next year, he actually played full-time for them. He hit 20 bombs, but he only hit .220, which, of course, as you and I always complain about, is acceptable in today's baseball.
Isn't that what Harper's hitting now, .220?
I thought he had gotten hot. And he was doing a little better than that now, but I'm not quite sure. Off the top of my head, I'm sure I can grab it here really quickly and see what they have him at.
Yeah.
They actually have him at .221 coming into tonight's action.
Well, our guesstimate was pretty close, huh?
You were right on. So yeah, as of today, this year is, one of the lowest money year of his contract. The Phillies are paying a little over $11.5 million for a .220 hitter.
Maybe those internet articles are accurate when they say that he's the most overrated player in baseball.
Yeah, eventually you have to start to wonder, don't you? I mean, with the exception of that MVP year where he was just a monster, he's only had one other 300 season. The power is there. I mean, he's going to give you the 30-plus home runs. And, in the right spot in the lineup, he should drive in 100 RBIs. But, last year he struck out 130 times or 169 times. He did walk 130. But, that's still a lot of strikeouts.
And
so,
he's never been a situational hitter at all, has he? Maybe shortened the game with two strikes.
I wonder if his biggest problem is just the fact that he's not Mike Trout and everybody wants him to be comparable to Mike Trout.
Yeah, and you don't find too many players at Trout's level, man. Certainly he's been, as you mentioned, he had a couple of good years, great years that one year, and otherwise he's a 220 hitter, 230 hitter every year.
Yeah, if you were to drop the MVP season when he hit 330, even with that other year when he hit 319, I mean, you know, his average would probably drop to right around 240 or 250 for his career. Right now, he was a 276 a career hitter coming into this year. But, that's because you add in the 300 years. Otherwise, he's never hit, above 274. So,
obviously, the league have done something. They made some kind of adjustments to Harper. And it's up to him to make the same adjustments to them. But he doesn't seem to be doing it.
Yeah, you wonder. I mean, there are those guys that are, just incredibly bullheaded. I remember an interview, it may have been 3 or 4 years ago now with Brian McCann, and he was just in a ridiculous slump. And, he's one of the left-handed hitters that they overshift on. And, a reporter finally asked him if he ever considered – trying to hit the ball the other way to get himself out of a slump. And he basically just kind of, told the guy off. And, all I kept thinking is, why would you repeatedly beat the ball into the shift where they're playing you, where, even if it's just a couple hits the other way to kind of get yourself going again. But instead, you're going to put the ball right at the second baseman standing in short right field. Okay.
Oh, he seems to be doing pretty well this year.
Yeah, it was just one of those things where, he was in a slump. I mean, we know all players go through it. And, like I said, the guy just offered a suggestion, and, he just killed the guy. And I just didn't understand the reaction because, to me it makes a lot of sense. I mean, if you look at what Javi Baez is doing this year, he's off to a really good start, and he leads baseball in opposite field hits.
Yeah, he is impressive.
Oh.
Although, not to say that he still isn't so crazy and swing the pitches 3 feet out of the zone. He still does that.
Yeah, and I think he will, But so did Vladimir Guerrero, and he ended up in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, but he's impressed me, though. He's really made a huge improvement in his batting over the last couple of years. I mean, and I thought maybe I was hoping that this year would not be a one-hit wonder for him, have a great year last year, coming second in MVP, and then revert back to his form. But he's carried right over into 2019.
We talked a little bit about how weird baseball can be, and I don't know if this move may have actually went under the wire, but. It looks like the Twins have given up on Addison Reed. They designated him for assignment. Now, the name may sound familiar because he spent 3 years as the White Sox closer and actually got 40 saves 1 year. Sadly, he wasn't very good with the Twins this year. He was 1-6 with a 4.50 ERA. So they've cashed it in on him. My guess is, he'll get another shot somewhere, but I mean, this was a guy, people were looking at him as, he was going to be a lockdown closer and, that was it. He was going to be the guy, but like I said, baseball is such an odd game that, he kind of flamed out and, he'll be out on the market looking for a job here soon.
After he left the White Sox, I don't think he ever was all that great. As a relief pitcher,
He found a niche as a setup man with the Mets. After he went over there from Arizona, he posted ERAs of 117 and 197 in a couple years with the Mets. And this was 2016 where he actually pitched in 80 games. His ERA was 1.97. But, you know, it kind of went away after that. So
in a big time way.
Yeah. You know, and I mean, you know, he's only 30, so it's not like he can't, you know, bounce back. But, yeah, that's just the, you know, kind of the oddity with baseball where, you know, you can look at a guy and, you know, like you mentioned, one-year wonder, hoping Baez wasn't going to be that. But, you know, we've seen so many of these guys where they're great 1 year and you think, oh, yeah, this is it. This guy's going to have a long career. And, you know, 3 years later, he's out of the game.
Yeah, it's a tough game, and you never know what's going to happen. And I'm not sure if Reed has burned himself out. I think his primary pitch was his fastball. I think he had a pretty decent slider too, but you never know when a guy's done. And I don't know.
Yeah.
Like you said, he'll probably get one more opportunity though. But if he doesn't make it this time, if he has the same kind of stats as he did now, he'll be gone. He'll be out of baseball.
Yeah. Yeah, and then, you know, another veteran guy here, St. Louis has finally given up on Luke Gregerson. They designated him for assignment. He, you know, he's been there the last 2 years, but he's been just legitimately injury-prone. Last year he pitched in just 17 games for him, had a 7.11 ERA. This year, after coming back from injury, he appeared in six games with a 7.94 ERA. Now, the majority of his career he's been a setup man. He did have a 31-save season back in 2015 for the Astros. But, you know, he had been a really reliable setup man. I mean, pitching in, you know, game after game. I mean, like, he's got an 80-game season on here, and then he's got 4 years where he pitched in 70-plus games. You know, he is 35 now, so I don't know if there's another spot for him. But, you know, with as hard up as teams are for pitching – you know, somebody may take a look at him.
Well, I assume he'll report to Memphis, but they didn't at least give him his unconditional release. They thought enough at least to give him a chance to go back to Memphis and maybe work on some things and come back again.
Yeah, I'll be surprised if he accept. Maybe he'll accept the minor league assignment, but I think he might. Choose free agency and see if there's another bullpen spot out there for him with a major league team, because he's been around a long time.
Yeah, maybe too long. The guy's 35 and is injury prone. I'm not sure if he's going to try that route or not. Take a chance on that route. If he does accept a designated assignment and go down to Memphis, at least he'll be getting his major league. I assume he's still getting his major league salary, right?
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah. Well, you know, the odd thing is he didn't really have any injury issues through his career until he signed with St. Louis. You know, he signed a two-year deal, you know, the 2 or 3 years with the Cardinals, and, you know, all of a sudden he ran into all these injuries.
Yeah, yeah.
But,
well,
yeah, so,
I
yeah,
say
again, an oddity.
Poetic justice
guys.
For St. Louis, I hate to say that, but being a longtime fan and before your time, but the Cubs did receive a couple of sore-arm pitchers from St. Louis who immediately became injured, damaged goods, and they got a pretty good ball player in return. Of course, you know what
I'm talking
about,
right? That was back before they checked on those kind of things.
Yeah, and if that thing happened today, I bet that trade might have been rescinded.
Oh, yeah, guys have to pass today. There's no way that trade like that happens today. So,
which is what it should be.
So, yeah, and then, you know, there's been a lot of prospects called up this week, and Colorado's been the latest team to do it here. They're calling up their top guy, Brendan Rodgers, doing pretty well at AAA. He was hitting .356 with 9 home runs. You know, he was ranked coming into this year. You could find him ranked anywhere between number 10 to number 22 as a prospect. So we're going to get to see him. I don't know if the Rockies lineup has been released, but I guess if they called him up, he's going to play.
Well, the Rockies certainly need some kind of an impetus to get going again, because they're really having a disappointing season so far.
Yeah, they've been another one of those kind of struggling teams that just can't. You know, I know they got hot for a while, and I think they won like 7 or 8 in a row. And I thought, oh, okay, they've kind of righted the ship. They're going to get going. And, you know, then I think they end up going on a losing streak. Yeah, and looking here, Rogers is in the lineup. He's batting second, and they're going to play him at second base. He's been a shortstop for most of his career, but obviously they have Trevor Story. I know originally this year they were going to play Garrett Hampson at second. He's another one of their prospects, and it did not work out well for Garrett there, and he is headed back to AAA. Let me knock out his numbers for us real quick, and we can see what he did while he was hanging out with Colorado here this year. Let's see. He played in 31 games for the Rockies, and he was hitting .194.
That's almost acceptable. That was 30 points, and he'd be right in the groove.
Yeah. So, and I know he was splitting some time with Ryan McMahon, who was another big time, was another big time prospect. And, you know, I mean, McMahon's doing okay. I mean, he's hitting .242. He's got 3 homers and, in the time he's played, but, and even your guy, Daniel Murphy, he came back from injury and he's off to a terrible start. He's only hitting .194.
That's surprising because he looks like a professional hitter, but I think he's been injured a couple of times the last few years, has he not?
Well, he was injured to start the season, but because he's only played in 19 games. He was, talked about as just a gigantic signing for them. And, I heard, guys talking about the fact, obviously he's not a huge power guy, but they were like, he'll hit 50 doubles easy in Colorado. And, you just kind of wonder what happened or what's happening.
Yeah, I know he missed a lot of time last year also with injuries, so they could be just accumulating. He's not a youngster anymore either.
No, I guess you maybe wonder, maybe he'd be better off signing with an American League team and being a DH. So.
Oh, that reminds me. I have to ask you a question. Maybe it's a baseball topic. Maybe I can get your input on this. It seems to me that there are only 6 teams in the American League who are going to be fighting out for the playoffs. Can you think of any other more than 6 teams that have a legitimate shot of making the playoffs in the American League?
No, well, making the playoffs, obviously, and, competing are a little different. But, it looks like Houston will be the only team out west. You got Cleveland and Minnesota in the Central, and then the 3 teams in the – the AL East. Yeah, other than that, that's kind of it.
That's what I agree with you on that. And it's not the same, though, in the National League, though, is it?
No. Oh, God, no. It's much more competitive. So, maybe the exception of the West. The Dodgers, I know the Padres have been playing well, but the Dodgers really look like the class of that division.
Yeah, at the beginning of the season, I figured the Dodgers would win the pennant again in the National League this year. And it could happen. I wouldn't be surprised.
No. But here, I don't want to forget this. You did make your one prediction. I did give you credit for your Milwaukee prediction because you did get it both right because you emailed it to me even though we forgot to put it on the air. So you're actually 12-6 at this point, and you did decide that you've got Washington winning this series, so obviously the Cubs aren't going to sweep. After this, they're headed to Philadelphia. Actually, I think they come home to face Philadelphia.
Yes, that's correct. That's a 3 or 4-game series.
It's a 4-game. They have the pitching matchups listed, so here's what they have. It starts with Yu Darvish against Jake Arrieta, Jose Quintana against Zach Eflin, Cole Hamels against, I forgot Irvin's first name. He's only made 1 start, so I'm still learning. and then John Lester against Aaron Nola. So you know the questions. Do you have the Cubs winning this series? And of course, are they sweeping it?
I would say no in both cases. I'm going to go with a 2-2.
All right, so we'll lock that in and get
mark
you set.
Mark that down for posterity now.
You are 12-6 so far with your predictions, and I did want to throw one more off the schneid here at you. I just got to hunt it down here really quick, and it's not a Cub one, so you're actually going to have to delve into your depth of Major League Baseball knowledge as this goes on. The Houston Astros are on the longest winning streak in Major League Baseball. They've won 8 games in a row. So what I want to know from you is, do they win number 9 today, or tonight, I guess, technically? And I can give you the matchup here as soon as my internet catches up with me. All right, I can tell you they are in Boston, so they have a tough team to play. The Astros are starting Garrett Cole, and the Red Sox are countering with Rick Porcello. So just tonight only, do you got Houston getting number 9?
Well, I like their pitching a little bit better than Boston's, but since it's in Boston, I'm going to have to say that their winning streak comes to a close tonight.
Okay, so we'll see how that all works out there, but and I'm looking here, see what we got. Big name starters. Jacob DeGrom's getting the start for the Mets, so that's good. I did see the Rangers are actually starting their former closer tonight. They had signed Jose Leclerc to kind of a big deal after he had some success as a closer. I think they gave him multiple years, not too much money, and he washed out. So tonight he's actually making the start against the Cardinals. I don't know if they're trying to do the opener thing where maybe he gives them a couple innings and they get him out, but they're going that route. And then your guy Jeff Samardzija getting the start for the Giants tonight against the Diamondbacks. Look at that.
And his ERA is pretty good this year so far, isn't it?
I think he's pitched decently for what is sadly turning into a really bad team. He's at 351, so he's decent.
I don't think he's ever going to be the pitcher that the number one on a pitching staff. I mean, he's maybe 3 at the best.
He'll never be that. He'd never be that number one. When the Cubs paid him that money, that was just a mistake. And I get they thought he was going to be that guy, but yeah, it was never gonna happen.
Well, he can always retire from baseball and go into football, right?
Yeah. Well, he may be a little old now to go into football.
Yeah.
But, and I think that's actually how he got his money out of the Cubs. I think there was a little talk of him maybe going to play in the NFL or trying. I don't know how he would have done. I'm sure he actually would have done okay. But, yeah, so, I think they used that as leverage to get some extra money out of the Cubs.
And he got it. Hey, can he kick?
That's all the kind of extra leverage you need there. You just need something to get a little something going. And
I'm saying if he retired from baseball, he can become the new field goal kicker for the Bears.
I don't know if any kick field goals. I mean, they tried just about everybody out except you. I'm surprised you weren't there trying to kick field goals. They brought about 8 or 9 guys in. So.
Yeah, and they still haven't decided. They still have still not close to making a selection yet. I suppose we really won't know until we're out of time.
Hopefully, what I think 2 hours something after this. But we only run into the people. Don't tell me that I'm on it. It's not going to happen up tomorrow morning. While you're doing it, get on over to the Facebook page. You've got to get the picture of the actual tunnel,